What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Diary of an Empath. I've gotten a lot of emails from a lot of you on really wild stories and relationships, and you guys have been sharing a lot of these experiences that you've had, and I thought I would do an episode and share some of those experiences with permission of the people who have sent them to me. Some of them are so wild that it almost makes me think if it's from a Reddit thread or if it's real life. Like, I can't believe that some of this stuff actually happens to people. But I want to start off with one that I did see online because I thought it was so wild. And let's talk it through and look at a few others. So let's look at this one.
Trigger warning, because they contain lewd Photoshopped images of you.
My whole body was hot and I just let out a scream. Because I knew that this could genuinely ruin my life. And I was screaming and crying, violently scrolling through my phone. And I realized what it was, and it was just someone having sex with me. In that moment, I genuinely wanted to be dead. The user who had requested these be made said that I made them so horny and they wanted to see me faked onto a pornographic photo.
There were two photos that I knew weren't on social media. One of them where it's very cropped and I'm looking at someone. It's only on my side profile. And I instantly know who it is. I know it's him. And I know it's been him the entire time. The only person I sent that photo to was my best friend, Alex Wolf. He was quite well known locally. He'd been on TV.
In the spotlight tonight, Alex Wolf, a composer whose specialist...
And won awards for composing.
I just felt my whole world fall away from me. Just the most enormous sense of betrayal, humiliation. Someone who I loved, who I thought loved me too. I relived every conversation that we had where he comforted me and supported me and been kind to me. And I just knew that it was all a lie.
There are no excuses for what I did, nor can I adequately explain why I acted on impulses. I'm truly sorry. In 2021, Alex pleaded guilty to 15 charges of sending messages that were grossly offensive, of indecent, obscene, or menacing nature. His sentence included a 5-month jail term, suspended for 2 years. What the fuck? So essentially, this guy who was best friends with this woman utilized AI technology and took her photos and was able to utilize AI technology and make a pornographic video that essentially had her face on the body that looked very realistic, and utilized pornographic pictures and uploaded it online, and somebody found it and then brought it to her attention. What the fuck is wrong with people? Like, the level of betrayal, and then you put it out in the public for other people to see. Like, once you put things online, it doesn't go anywhere. The crazy thing is like, we have new AI technology that I think is really amazing in so many aspects, but it can be really scary at distorting the truth. In terms of, are we really seeing things that are real, or is AI really going to be distorting the truth that can cause havoc and chaos and shift political parties, ruin people's life? We hear about AI audio that people are scamming families to make the voice sound like their significant other or their daughter or their son, and saying, hey, I'm kidnapped, I need X amount of money, and it sounds so realistic. You take that same technology and podcasters are using it to make content that's helpful for their business. So I feel like with every technology, there's pros and cons. But the level of betrayal that comes with someone so close to you who you let into a very vulnerable space, just taking complete advantage of that, not only on a betrayal level, but to use your sexuality against you without your permission. I would almost go so far to say that's like a sexual assault, because yes, it's not physically to your body, but it does so much damage to the victim, almost like how a sexual assault would do. That to me is fucking wild. All right, let's go to the next story. 2016, I started on a journey with a man who would become my husband, blinded by love, believing I could alter the course of his unfaithful ways. But my attempts at transformation were futile against the currents of his addiction and trauma. During our relationship, he strayed, betraying my trust with infidelity that cut deeper than I dared to admit. His actions spoke of a darkness I chose to ignore, hoping against hope that my love could heal his wounds. Don't we all think like that sometimes? But you can't heal them, girl. Little did I know, his wounds ran deeper than I could fathom. As our relationship progressed, so did the layers of deception. I bet those layers were deep. He fathered a child outside of our relationship. The audacity. Concealed it with lies and coerced the woman into a decision she would forever carry the weight of. I'm assuming she's talking about an abortion here. Yet I clung to the belief that love could conquer all, even the shadows lurking within his soul. The revelation of my pregnancy should have brought joy, but instead it unveiled the cracks in our facade. Okay, so she still had a baby with this guy. Unbeknownst to me, his addiction had already taken root, festering beneath the surface of our seemingly idyllic life. His encounters knew no bounds, traversing the spectrum of gender and identity in search of a fleeting gratification. I'm curious with that sentence if there's like a deeper layer that wasn't said here, but let's continue. It wasn't until the weight of our second child nestled within the womb that the truth came crashing down around me. Girl, this needs to be a novel, the way that you write this. I am like hooked. His admission of the addiction, trauma, and betrayal shattered the illusion I had so desperately clung to. At one point, he slipped me pills for an STD that he contracted. Okay, pause. I just don't understand the audacity of some fucking people. Like, the audacity that they think they can have autonomy over your body, your pictures, your sexuality. I can't. This is why I don't trust people. Those very pills could have caused a stillbirth for our child. Hold on. Wait. You were pregnant. So this guy slipped medication for an STD that he got, so hoping that she wouldn't find out or figure out that he slipped her medication so she wouldn't get the STD symptoms. And she was pregnant with his kid. Okay, let's continue. That's fucking wild. Okay, so rehabilitation offered a glimmer of hope, a chance for redemption amidst the wreckage of our shattered trust. But his relapses echoed the inevitability of his addiction, a force too powerful to be subdued by love alone. The year 2023 marked the culmination of my awakening, the realization that change was a mirage in the desert of our broken vows. His invitation to strangers for a cuckold entanglement into our sacred space, a perverse spectacle of his addiction, served as the final nail in the coffin of my delusions. In the end, I learned a painful truth. Some wounds are too deep to heal, some demons too fierce to tame, and through my heart may bear the scars of his betrayal. It also carries the wisdom gained from letting go of a love that can never save us. Holy shit. Why do people stay in relationships that they know are not good for us is a question I get a lot. I think the most beautiful, intelligent, amazing women can end up in situations that they never would have thought they would be in, stay in relationships longer than they should, knowing that the relationship is not good for many different reasons. And that cognitive dissonance of knowing something's not good, but still kind of hoping and staying in something, it can be very confusing. And I think we can sometimes fall in love with the potential or the idealization of who someone could be or the hope of where they'll get to, whether it's healing, addiction, potential. And, you know, the term don't fall in love with potential, but it's really hard to radically accept somebody for who they are right now and where they're at and what they're capable of giving to the relationship. How are they capable of stepping up to the relationship with their responsibility, their communication, their honesty, their consistency? And sometimes we get stuck in the what could be or the hope of what could be rather than the what is right now. Because the what is right now is painful. That realization is not comfortable. So people go into denial, or they go numb, or they don't want to see things for what they are. Because if they see things for what they are right now, without accepting the past or the inevitability that the future may never come of what they want, some people don't want to have that radical acceptance because it's too painful to think about or bear, or the idea of rejection, denial, or judgment can be overwhelming. And along with other things like abuse and financial exploitation, you know, and that's just a whole other layer to things, kids, etc. I mean, people stay for a number of reasons. I'm so glad you got out of this relationship or this dynamic in this situation. It sounds like you stayed probably way longer than you would have liked to. And I mean, holy shit, there are some really fucked up people in this world. And this is why I have trust issues. Okay, let's look at the next one. I mean, hell, if you think your relationship is crazy, these stories are wild. All right, so this is going to sound super petty. I am a 24-year-old male. I'm shorter than my girlfriend when she wears heels, and she refuses to wear anything but heels. I think it looks weird when a girl is taller than a guy. Normally, it's never been a problem for me. I'm 5'10", and the girls I've dated have always happened to be around 5'3 to 5'6". The girl that I'm dating now, though, is 5'8". It wasn't a problem when we first met because she was wearing flats and I was wearing boots, so I didn't even think about it. Now that we're dating, she constantly wants to wear heels anytime we go anywhere. Now she's towering over me and I hate it. Okay, ego check. When we first went out, I didn't want to start off on the wrong foot, so I didn't say anything except for just, wow, you're tall. Alrighty then. And now it's been 2 months and she's still doing it. I've spoken, like, wait a minute. So she's the problem because she's still doing it. You got to get over yourself, bro. I've spoken to her about it, saying that I hate it. I hate how it makes us look. And she keeps saying it's fine. And then I'm being stupid for thinking that it looks bad. You are being stupid. I'm sorry, but it is. What should I do? You should get over it. You should get over your ego. I'm sorry. If you have a problem with the fact that she wears heels, that's a personal problem and a trigger that you need to address yourself. It's not her responsibility to change how she looks in order to accommodate your comfort, in order to accommodate your ego. That's a you issue, and that's something that you need to address. It's not her responsibility to make you feel comfortable because of your insecurity. I know that sounds harsh, but it's the truth. Like, imagine if every person, if every man put the responsibility on women for them to feel comfortable. Wait, I think that actually is reality a lot of the times. And, you know, I'm not saying this is all men. I'm not saying this is all relationships, but I absolutely don't feel that it's the woman's responsibility or anyone's responsibility to make you feel more comfortable because you're insecure with your height. You're saying you're not, but you are, because if it didn't make you feel insecure, it wouldn't be a problem. I do want to give the empathy where I do think there's a lot of pressure on men for masculinity, to feel like the provider, to feel bigger than, to feel like they have more money, because there is a lot of pressure on men to do those things from both men and women. And in a lot of ways, it can make men feel demasculine. But I think that if you're really secure with who you are and you're comfortable with the person you're with and you're compatible, the height shouldn't matter. There should be many, many other things. And honestly, if it mattered that much, then, you know, you shouldn't be talking about this 2 months in. You should have just cut it from the beginning. So my advice with this is going to be a little harsh. Get over yourself. Go figure it out. Go figure out your triggers. Process that shit. Don't dump it on your girlfriend. End of story. So the thing is, my boyfriend and I have extremely different cleaning standards, and there's this thing that I find completely disgusting, and he thinks that they're just fine, and this is one of them. We hang out naked in our place a lot, and he was wrapped in a blanket yesterday and farted, and then immediately went into the bathroom, and I realized there was a bunch of small stains there where his bum had just been. So yeah, there was a bit of poop there. I thought it was kind of funny, but gross enough not to use that blanket anymore until it had been washed. And then he said it was okay to use, but I said, fuck it, and tossed it aside. Then today, after we discussed it a little bit further and I made it clear poopy blanket was gross. I saw him wearing it again while he was cooking something for me. Of course, I feel disgusted and said I won't eat something that's been made by someone wrapped in a poopy blanket. But he thinks I'm being unreasonable. So I'm turning to you because I need to know, am I being unreasonable or am I making things gross? I don't think you're being unreasonable. I don't understand why the guy's got shit stains on the toilet. That's pretty gross and unsanitary. And just to me, I feel like it's just disrespectful when you live with someone else who shares the same toilet with you. I look at it like this. Like if I was a guest in someone's house, would I leave shit stains on their toilet? No, I would clean it. And it sounds like she's talking about like the top of the toilet. I don't know, but that's what it seems like. But regardless, like you, it's your house. You know where the cleaning stuff is. Don't leave shit stains in the toilet. Like to me, that's just weird. But it's understandable that this would kind of freak her out, especially when it comes to food. So no, I'm with you on that. I don't think it's unreasonable. I think it's kind of gross and he needs to be a little bit more understanding that he shares a space with another person and he should be mindful of that and respectful of that. And I would bring that up and have a serious conversation about how you guys are compatible with your cleanliness and how that's important to you. I think I would feel the same way. Oh my gosh, you guys, this, you're making me thankful that I'm single in some ways. My best friend has fallen deep and in love with what is most certainly a catfish, but he won't listen to me. How do I make him snap out of it? I feel like I'm going to lose my best friend. About 4 months ago, my best friend from childhood started talking to this girl he met on OkCupid. Do people still go on there? She sent him pictures and she's stunning. She tells him she has only been with one other guy. She's a virgin. Okay. Yeah, so am I. She's a vegan just like him, plays the same game. Mind you, she's 34, by the way. Got her license to practice medicine as an MD, and most fishy of all, will not video chat with him. Like, come on, guys. Like, you meet somebody who will not video chat with you and has all this outlandish, like, MD. Come on, that's like red flags. They were supposed to meet in person a couple months ago, but she took a trip out of town, and all of a sudden, her dad had a stroke and mom got cancer. So she went across the country to take care of them. She says she doesn't want to video chat because she says she wants the first time they meet to be special. She says that she's old-fashioned like that. She's from the Philippines, and she's very traditional. I told him to at least ask her to take a picture of herself with the date or his name or something as proof, and he told me her camera broke on the cell phone. She apparently got a job as a doctor at the same hospital as her dad is staying at. I know what you're saying. Call the hospital and confirm there's no doctor by that name working there. Well, the hospital she used to be at when she was nearby, I called it and asked if someone with her name worked there and got no name. But she told my friend that she works for an agency that places doctors. She's like a traveling doctor that can go from one hospital to next, and that's why they didn't have a name in the registry. They talk on the phone 24/7, go to sleep on the phone, wake up together, continue talking. He's definitely in a committed relationship with some female on the other end, but I have no idea what's going on. It's surreal. They've already planned to move in together. They have kids. They want to have kids. And I keep trying to tell him to open his eyes, go meet her, but doesn't want to do it without her permission. He's actually fallen in love with her. Oh boy. And he even told me that if she's been lying, he'd still give her a chance. They tell each other they love each other all the time. Oh my gosh. And let's just hope your friend did not send her money. And you know what the truth is? You can't get him to see it. He's got to figure it out on his own. There's probably nothing you're going to be able to do or say that's going to change his mind when you're so caught up in the dynamics of the dopamine and the serotonin and the oxytocin. It's really, really hard to disconnect that. So unfortunately, I think you're going to have to let your friend go about his own journey on his own. But I hope you guys enjoyed some of that. Oh, my lawn guy is driving me nuts. I hope you guys enjoyed some of the crazy stories. And until next time, see you on the next episode of Diary of an Empath.